Good morning. How's everyone doing? Hopefully you have your Bible handy. As I said in this series, we're going to be going through several passages of scripture. So for convenience, I'm going to have it up on the stage. I mean, up on the screen rather, for so we can get there real quick. If you also look inside of your bulletin, there's an outline to follow along. This will be the last message of this series, The Bible Endures. We've been talking over the last few weeks why I believe that this is God's word and to prove why it's his word. Last week, we talked about God's testimony about his word. And we concluded the Bible is 100% accurate in all that it asserts. We also said that the Bible contains all the truth that is essential for joy and happiness in a human being's life. We may have other things that make life more enjoyable, but only the Bible contains the essential ingredients, the essential truths to make humans joyful and happy. In 2 Peter, he says this in chapter 1. He says, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need from the word of God, it means. God has given us. If you've been keeping up with me in my messages, hopefully by now you say, boy, I'm fired up by God's word. Are you fired up about his word? Hopefully you're fired up and you say, man, I'm ready to study God's word and I can't wait to get into it. Every day I want to get in God's word. But before I conclude this series, there's one more thing I need to discuss this series. See, I believe the number one reason that people don't experience the incredible benefits of God's word because they really don't know how to study it. They really don't understand how to do that. I'm not talking about unbelievers. You may say, yeah, I know unbelievers don't. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this. The man without the Spirit, the one who doesn't have the Spirit of God, the one who has not trusted Jesus Christ their Savior, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They don't have the Holy Spirit. We can't judge those who can't understand the Bible because they're not capable of it. What I'm talking about is many believers in Jesus Christ are not being transformed by this book because they do not know how to mine the wealth of God's word. They have no idea how to do it. And they get into it many times. They say, boy, I'm going to get into the Bible and I'm going to dig into it and I'm going to begin to read the word of God because the pastor's been saying it the last several weeks, but I know I need to get into the word of God. So they get into the word of God and maybe they open it up and they get to the Old Testament and they begin to read the Old Testament and say, what is this? And they get in a place that's over their head. Do you realize there's places in the Bible where we get over our head and they start to read it and they kind of freak out a little bit and say, I don't understand this. The pastor said I should be able to understand this. There must be something wrong with me because I don't understand the word of God. And then they'd reside to, yeah, it must be only for the pastor and the elders and the teachers of the church and it's not for me. And I'm here to tell you, listen, you can study the word of God for yourself. You can mine the wealth from God's word because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you have the best teacher available to teach you the word of God. And that's what God wants to do. And the goal of my message this morning is to help you to accomplish to say that I can study the word of God on my own. That's my goal. It's a big goal, but I hope that we can do that. And I want to give you this morning how this Bible can benefit you and give you three ways to benefit from the Bible this morning. And this is going to be a very practical message, very practical. So as the first way, you're going to see the points. The first way, you have to pick it up. Does it make sense? You got to pick it up. If you don't pick up the word of God, it can't help you. You've got to pick it up. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, up on the screen, this is our theme verse for this whole series. The Bible says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. This word of God stands forever and it helps us through all things, but it cannot help you if you don't pick it up. It's not going to do much for you if you leave it on a shelf at home. It's not going to do much for you if you take it out in your car today and you throw it in the back seat and it stays there. It's not going to do much for you if you have it in your nightstand and it's just collecting dust. It doesn't do anything for us. If all it is doing is collecting dust and it doesn't have your fingerprints all over it and have your notes written all through it, this book cannot grip your heart. It can't do anything for you. And it becomes useless to us. Because we haven't used, we haven't mined the wealth of God's word. And this book is different from any other book. It's not reading a science book or the newspaper, the internet, Facebook or anything. This book is different. It transforms life and it will grip your heart. But you first have to pick it up. You have to pick up this book. Let me ask you, Let's be honest with yourself. How many times this week have you picked up your smartphone? You've touched your smartphone with your hands. How many? Just think, get a number. How many times have I touched my smartphone? Say, wow, I use that all the time. And maybe you say, well, I don't have a smartphone. Well, how many times have you touched the keyboard of your computer? How many times? How many times have you touched a remote control to the TV? Now, be honest. How many times have you touched the Word of God? How many times in comparison? We'd say, man, I picked up the Word of God and I touched it. I actually used the Word of God. People give a lot of excuses why they don't pick up the Word of God and read it. And I want to give you the four major excuses that people give. This is not in your notes. It's just extra so you can understand. People say that it's not interesting. They say, you know, when I read the Word of God, I get bored with it. It's boring. Because if you don't understand what you're reading and you don't understand the benefits that you can get from this book and the value of this book, it becomes just a bunch of words. Just the words like any other book, and it becomes boring. And it's not interesting. It's just boring. That's what it becomes. Second, they say, I forget. You know, I know after leaving church on Sunday morning that I should be reading God's word. By the time Mondays and Tuesdays come by, I forget all about to read the Word of God. Three, they said, I don't understand it. I pick it up and I want to understand it. I want to read it and I read it and I just don't understand it. I've tried and I don't understand the book. I want to, but I just don't understand. And last is I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. What you need to understand that this Word of God is spiritual food to us. And if you can understand that as food is to us physically, the Word of God is to us spiritually. And if you ate food of how much you read the Word of God, how would you be physically? Say, I'm only going to eat as much as I read the Word of God each week. Those are the only times I'm going to eat. How would you be physically as a person? Would you be malnourished? Think about that. Would you be physically malnourished right now? So if that's the way, are you spiritually malnourished because I'm not feeding on God's word? We always do what we value the most, don't we? We always do what we know the most important. We find time in our week, out of those hours in the week, out of those hours during the day, we find time to do what is important. Let me give you the two reasons why people actually don't read the Bible. Those other ones are just excuses. But let me give you the two reasons. One is this: we don't value what we have in our hands. We don't value it. We say, yeah, it's God's word, and we say that, but we don't value. We don't really look at it and say, man, this is God's word. And we really allow it to penetrate our hearts and minds of what it is. And the other one is, really, we tried and I failed. I tried to understand God's word and I failed. And hopefully through this series, you're going to see that the value of God's word. And through this message today, you're going to be able to say, man, I can do this. With the power of the Holy Spirit, I can read God's word. He's going to help me to understand it. The second way to benefit from the Bible is you have to size it up. You've got to size it up. Just kind of words to go with this. You got to look in your hands and say, what is this that I'm holding in my hands? And hopefully everyone's got a Word of God, whoever you're using on your smartphone, a tablet, or whatever you have. What is this that I exactly have in my hands? And you've got to understand that, because when you understand what you have in your hands, you're going to start seeing the value in your life. Inside the Word of God, God's Word gives us all kinds of pictures of what the Word of God is. Because it's like pictures, how important the Word of God is to us. And in order to really understand it, we've got to look at those pictures of what the Bible has to say about itself so we can kind of see how important it is to our life. And that's what I want to do now in your notes, is kind of give you those word pictures. And the first one I want to go through is the Bible says it is a sword. God chose to communicate to us the value of his book by saying to us that this word is a sword. And he's making a very strong statement by saying that. I don't know, maybe we don't understand how strong of a statement. A sword is a very serious weapon. At the time that this Bible was written, it was the most powerful, greatest piece of weaponry that someone could hold as an individual. Think about that. The greatest piece of weaponry that someone could hold was a sword. And God says, this is what you hold in your hand is a sword. I'm giving you a sword. This is your spiritual sword. You're to use it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this: for the word of God is living and active. No other book can say that. It's alive. It's active. It's active in our life. When we read it, it said it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Then it says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing does that. No book can do that except the Word of God. And it's saying that the Word of God cuts to the heart of the matter. It gets right to the point. gets right to, takes hold of people's lives is what it's saying. It's so sharp. It's able to get to those points in our life where you and I can't reach, that it's piercing. It actually says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's actually able to get in there and look at my attitudes of my heart and judges my thoughts and say, Doug, that's a wrong thought. That attitude that you have, you need to get rid of. It actually can do that. Nothing else can do that, but the Word of God does that. And sometimes you're sitting here and the Word of God will grip you. And sometimes you're reading the Word of God and it grips us. It grips us in our life like no other book can. And God uses this book. He said it's so sharp, it's able to get down so deep and separate joints and marrow. Able to get so deep and penetrate. Now, God has given us this something that we need to understand. He says this is a sword. And you have to understand the picture here is not the big sword that the Roman soldiers would use where they just wail it. And it's actually the shorter sword what they're talking about. So this sword, you got to be really good. You got to know how to use it to defend yourself and everything. So this sword that God gives us, this Bible, it's not a real sword, but the Bible, he said it's like a sword. It's the words that's in this book. He says it's your offensive and it's a defensive weapon. A defensive weapon is when the enemy comes and attacks you or you're being tempted, you're to take out the Word of God, your sword, and defend yourself. So you have to know it. When the temptations come your way, you got to know it well enough so I can use the Word of God and pinpoint that temptation. So I got to know it. Then I'm able to use it to be an offensive weapon. The only offensive weapon that we have spiritually is the Word of God, that I use it so I can move forward in my Christian life and not just stand still and be confident to be guided and directed by this Word of God. It helps me to live the life that God has called me to live. And I find that with the Word of God. And he says, it is a sword in your life. And he gives us a great piece of weaponry right here, spiritual weaponry, the sword. If everybody has their sword, we got to take that out every day and read it. The second picture of the Word of God that he gives us, he says that it's a hammer. It's a hammer. In Jeremiah 23, it says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? Sometimes you and I have to acknowledge that our hearts get hard toward God. And you say, mature people in Christ don't like to admit that. But anytime you and I resist God in doing something or we sin against God, we've allowed our heart to get hardened toward him, toward that. God, I don't want to do that. Not right now. God, please don't make me do it. We're hardening our hearts toward God. And maybe you say, I really don't know what the sword of the Spirit is like piercing, but I certainly know what the Word of God is like a hammer, because God has hit me over the head many times with this book so many times. And I've had people that come up to me after preaching a message and you say, Pastor, you must know what I was going through, because that word right there, that message hit me over the head. And you feel the hammer of God's word. And I don't know what many times you're going in, but God is able to use his word and acts as a hammer to break through our hard hearts that we have many times. God uses his hammer to tender your heart before God. It's almost like when people's ready to cook some meat, they take out a hammer and many times they're tenderized and hit it, make it real tender. That's what God does to us many times. He tenderizes our heart to mold and shape our hearts to be more like Jesus. That's what he wants. Let me say, it's no fun when God has to use the Word of God like a hammer in our lives. It's no fun at all. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's very rebuking. Sometimes God comes at us and he does that. Because God says, I can't have your hearts be hardened. You can't have your will and God's will. So God says, I've got to tenderize your heart. I've got to tender your heart. And I've got to use the Word of God as a hammer. And he does that because he loves us. God isn't, he just doesn't want you to be saved. Know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and live your own life your own way. God says, I'm not here to make you comfortable. I'm here to use you for my glory. You have been saved for a purpose, and your purpose is not for you, it's my purpose, and we're saved for God's purpose. So God will do whatever he has to because he loves us, and he wants us to live a life that glorifies him, and he knows what's best for us. He's always got our best intention in mind for us to bring him glory, and he knows what we need. What we have here is from the Word of God, we have pictures. And these first two is how the Word of God gets a hold of us. God knows a way to get a hold of us with the sword and with the hammer. The next two I want to give you, where it talks about the Word of God, is food. And the first one he talks about it is milk. The Word of God is milk. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The idea is the word of God is milk to us. Well, what is milk to a baby? If you said, what is milk to a newborn baby? You would say it's everything. It's nourishment. It provides everything that they need. The baby has that. And here's the thing about a baby. You don't have to train a baby that they need milk, do you? You know, say, hey, you got to understand you need milk. They know they need this, right? They know they need it automatically. It's intuitive. They just know, I need milk. I need to have this. And they have this mechanism put inside them to let you know that they need it, right? They cry out. They cry to let you know that they need this milk. And what God is doing here is he's giving us a picture of milk. And God has given us a picture of just how important the word of God is to be to you and I. You and I know how important milk is to a baby. We understand that. It's their survival. They need it. They got to have it. And God is saying to you and I, we're to be like little babies. We're to drink the pure milk of God's word so that you and I can grow. We need the milk of God's word. And we're to be thankful for God for giving us his word, his milk. He says, you need this. And able for a young Christian to grow, you've got to drink plenty of milk. You've got to get into the word of God, the milk of his word. And the word of God is the basic truths of God's word. It comes to it that I trusted Jesus as my savior. Jesus gives me forgiveness of sins. I know I should love people. This is the word of God. Those are all the milk of the word. And we're to have those kind of truths. They call them the elementary truths of God's word. And you and I are to have those and we're to know those truths. But sometimes it comes to a place in your life you say, well I'm coming. I just don't want milk anymore. But it gives us the next picture, and the picture is meat. Now I come to the point in my mind when I need meat. And it says here, and I love this passage in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. It says here, the writer says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk. He says, you've known Christ for a long time, and you should be teachers. You should be teaching others, but you still need the milk of God's word, those elementary truths of God's word. He says, not solid food, because that's what you need. He says, anyone who lives on milk, then he tells the ones who live on milk, still an infant, being still an infant, and is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. He says that some people still are on milk, but here in this passage, he says, there comes a time when you and I say milk is not enough. I live on this milk, but it's not enough for me and I need something more. And you come to a time in your life where you say, I just can't survive on milk anymore. As good as it is, and it's good, it's all good, but it's just not enough for me. I need something more, is what the Bible is saying. That's where we all should be. If you had a five-year-old, and there was a five-year-old, and you said, hey, all they drink is milk, they never eat anything else, something's wrong there. They're never going to develop who they're going to be. The same with us. You and I need more than just the milk of God's word. Eventually, we have to graduate and start taking the deeper truths of that and take the meat of the word. If I'm going to continue to grow, we desperately need to be feeding ourselves with the meat of God's word. To understand how to walk in righteousness, to be able to distinguish good from evil, to allow this word of God to lead me and guide me in my life. That's what it's supposed to do. What if I was to tell you over the next 7 days you couldn't eat? You would say, boy, I was hungry coming in, Pastor. You should have told me that ahead of time. And you're saying my stomach would be growling. By the end of that 7 days, I would be physically weak. And I may get sick from that because I have not eaten for 7 days. Now think about it. What is going to happen to you if you haven't read the word of God for that long? Just think about that. How does that affect you spiritually? If food is to us physically as the word of God is to us spiritually, and I haven't eaten from the word of God for a week or however long it's been, how is it going to affect me spiritually? People many times say to me, I wonder why God feels so far from me. God just feels so distant. You ever have that in your life? I have people over the years come to me all the time and they say that, man, God seems so far. It just seems like, man, it just seems distant. Just my relationship with him is just not as close as it used to be. One of the reasons because you're not feeding on God's word. One of the reasons because you're not feeding on the meat of his word. You're staying in the elementary truths. You're not staying, getting to the deeper parts of God's word. God wants us to feed on his word. To come to understand not just Jesus as Savior and those types of things. Those are all good. Those are great things. But he says you need to come to the point of the meat of his word. The fifth picture of God's word, he says, is light. God's word is light. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and light for my path. The idea is really kind of simple, true, what he's saying here. That no more stumbling through life. No more going through life without all by myself. And no more going, but God says, I don't have to walk in darkness anymore. That God's word now is going to light up my path. No more walking down those dark alleys. Allow the world to mug me and rob me of the life that God intended me to live. No longer. Now when I walk, I don't have to walk down dark alleys because I have the word of God that's going to light up my path. And now I can walk and live and experience the life that God intended me to live with him leading the way with his word. That's what it's telling me. It's going to light my path so I know exactly what to do. It's helping me be guided and led by God's word that I know for sure what I'm doing in my life because I have the word now. I'm not walking in darkness, but I've got the light in front of me. And I've got to know this. As I said before, it's like that sword, but you got to know it in order for it to guide you, in order for it to lead you. And that's what mature Christians, ones who have taken the meat, they're using this as their compass. They're using this, the point, that thing that guides them in life. It's the word of God, God's truth. And we do that. I'm trying to give you word pictures here so you see the importance and the value of his word. It's so important to you and I. The sixth picture of God's word is, it says it's a mirror. A mirror. Sometimes the problems I encounter are not the circumstances of my life. Sometimes the problems that I encounter in my life are right here on the inside of me, where I need the word of God to shine on myself. I need the word of God to kind of show me who I am. And many times you have to experience God's word as a mirror, where you see yourself right through the pages of this book. And God is so good at doing that. And that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a mirror. As I read the word of God and I open up and I sometimes say, is that really me? Is that who I really am? I mean, I really act like that, or I really did that, or that's what I've done. And it does that so many times. And it does that in our life and helps us to see that. See, what we're doing this morning, we're lifting up God's word in a very specific way. And we're looking at a relationship with God through the word of God. And we realize that this book, what the Bible is telling us, has to be my companion. It's my light. It's my food. But it goes on in James chapter 1 and it says this. Anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And I love this passage. I always get a picture in my mind when I read this passage of scripture. But it's saying that you read the word of God and you don't do what it says. You're like a person who looks in the mirror and you forget what you look like. And I always think of this. This morning, many of you probably had breakfast, right? Hopefully you had breakfast. You got up, you had breakfast. And maybe you got up this morning, you had a breakfast and you like toast. And you said, man, I'm going to have a nice slice of toast, maybe a couple slices of toast. But Ben, you said, well, I'm really going to have some jelly. And I love my jelly and I love it nice and thick on the toast. And I have that jelly and I eat that toast and that jelly just squeezing all out of there and it tastes so good. But it's getting all over my face and the jelly's all over my face. And when I get done eating, I clean up what I have in the kitchen and I go in the mirror in the bathroom and I look in the mirror and I see jelly all over my face. And I kind of nod my head and I walk away. And I don't do anything about it. And you would say, who would do that? Who would actually walk away without cleaning the jelly off their face, right? Well, that's what it says in the word of God you're doing. It says, you read what God says to do, and you don't do what it says. It's like someone looking in their face with jelly all over it and just walks away and leaves it there and goes on to their place and lets people see them like that. Why would you do that? God's word helps us. The Bible says we're to rightly value the word of God. We're to divide it. We're to use it. It's a sword. It's a hammer. It's milk. It's meat. It's light. It's a mirror. There's other words that we have. It's fire. It's seed. And many other words. And I hope you see how valuable the word of God is to us. And hopefully you get fired up by God's word that it's useful in my life, that God wants me to use it. Not just have this book and say, yeah, this is God's word, but I see how valuable it is. And I see that I can't live this Christian life apart from the word of God. Do you realize that? You cannot live the life apart from this. Not the life that God has called you to live. You may try to live it, not God's way. God wants us to have this book. We need to see this and we need to study the word of God. So the first benefit was you have to pick it up. The second one, you have to size it up. The third one is you have to eat it up. You have to eat it up. In Jeremiah 15, it says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. We're in a very biblical basis when we're talking about eating up God's word. You understand that? Not just something I made up. That's a very biblical basis. The Bible tells us that you and I are to feed on God's word. And it means I take it in, I chew on it, I digest it, and I bring it back up. It's like the cow with the four stomachs, rumination. They ruminate. They eat it, they digest it and bring it back up. They chew on their cud. They get all the nourishment they can. They swallow it again and put it in the next stomach. They have four stomachs. And they continue that process till they can get everything they can out of the word of God. And that's what you and I to do. It's a very biblical basis. You and I are supposed to ruminate on it. So the first way to do that, we have to read it. You have to read the word of God. And I cannot say this enough. It doesn't be good enough for you to have a big old Bible in your home or carry a Bible with you or have it on your smartphone, have it on your tablet, have it on your computer, have it in all these places, but you never read it. And it's so plain and obvious. It makes so much sense that I got to read it. Well, Pastor, that makes a lot of sense. And you should start, if you say, well, I don't know where to start. Start in an easy book. Start in the Gospel of John. Start in 1 John, and then maybe go in the book of Philippians. Tells us how to live the joyful Christian life. But you have to do it. And if you're going to start reading, what I would encourage you is to get into the Word of God, that you begin to pray before you read and ask God to help you to read it. But let me give you another suggestion that I've learned over the years. Many times what we do, we get into the Word of God. We say, man, I want to read this, but I want to get real comfortable when I'm reading. Remember, this is not a magazine. This is not reading Facebook. This is not reading your laptop, your computer, and all this. This is different. And there's forces out there. There's an enemy out there that does not want you to read this, right? You know that, right? Satan does not want you to read this word. He will do whatever he can to stop you from reading this because he knows there's power in this word. So he will distract you, have you make all kinds of excuses why you can't read this. And sometimes we get in the habit, because I used to do this, we kind of sit back in the couch or laid back and I'm just going to start reading the word of God. And I'm not saying you can't read it like that, but I want to give you a suggestion. If you read the word of God like that, the enemy has so many ways he can tempt you. But what happens, what I find out as we read it, is dust gets in my eyes. It's that sleepy dust. And soon we fall off to sleep. We've read just a couple of words, couple lines, and we fall. Some people say, well, it's so great. I love to fall asleep reading the word of God. And that's great. But let me just, when we read the word of God, we're to think about what it says. Not just say we read it. That's not the point of reading God's word. I'm to think about what it says. Allow it to affect me. Allow it to go through my mind. So I would encourage you to find a place where you're comfortable, where you can sit up and you can read the word of God and really get into it and understand what it's saying. And then the next point I want to give you, not only read it, maybe have a pen and paper there or something. Second is you want to question it. You want to question God's word. You want to dialogue with it. And there are several questions you can ask the Word of God. Let me give you a few of these questions that you can maybe jot them down real quick. You want to look at it and say, what portion of my reading stands out to me? That what I've just read, what portion? Let me share something that's really important. Don't read one verse of the Bible and say, that's what I'm going to read today, because you have a habit when you do that to take it out of context. And one verse of the Bible is usually not a complete thought. A complete thought is a complete paragraph. Usually you get a complete thought out of a paragraph. So read the Bible by paragraphs at least. And if you're going to read a paragraph, you usually have to read the paragraph before and the paragraph after so you get it in context, so you know what's the word saying, and to keep it in context. Okay, make sure you read it like that. But you look at this, say, okay, what am I reading? It really stands out to me. What stood out to me at that passage of scripture? Second is, why does it have my attention? Why of all those other places that I'm reading in this passage, why what stands out to me has my attention? What is it that has it? And third, you want to ask yourself, is there an example for me to follow? Is God giving me something right here? Says, I need to follow this example, this good example that's given me in the Word of God. I need to follow it. Fourth, is there an error for me to avoid? Is God warning me? Give me a warning sign. There's a sin there. Do not do this. Do not do this. Is there something for me to avoid that he's given me in the Word of God? Fifth, is there a duty or a task for me to perform? Is God giving me something in my own life saying, you need to go talk to this person. You need to get in this Bible study. You need to get involved in this ministry. You need to, whatever it is. Is there a duty or a task that God wants me to perform? Six, is there a promise for me to proclaim? All through the Word of God, every time you open this up, this is golden nuggets of truth. Do you realize this is golden nuggets of truth that God gives us? And inside those golden nuggets of truth, these precepts are principles that I've been talking about over the last few weeks, and there's promises. And that's what we want to get into. There's great promises that God has given you from the Word of God. And He gives us those so we can build our life on His promises. So you're reading the Word of God, and what you're looking is finding those promises for me in my life. And you find those promises many times, and God says, great is thy faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And whatever I'm going through right now, God has been faithful in the past. So I know that promise. He'll be faithful to me right now. So those promises are so big for us to grab out of the Bible. And they're all through it. All through it. And those promises for always. Not just for that time, for always. God gives us promises. That's why we have to get in here. We got to dig into it. And those gold nuggets of truth come out that are life-changing. That I can build my life on the promises of God. And then the last is, there is sin for me to confess. Is God showing me something that I've erred in my life that I need to confess? I need to come to God and, God, I had this attitude, these things I said, my actions, whatever it is. And I come to God in agreement with God and just confess it. God already knows it's wrong. And I just come and said, God, what I've just done, please forgive me of my sin. We do 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We do that. We just come and confess it. Third, first, remember, you read it, you question it. Third is plan it. Make a plan of action, how you're going to use what you're learning. Just don't read it and say, I question it, but make a plan of action. What am I going to do? If God convicts you in anger, you need to think, when's the times that I've been angry? And what are the situations that make me angry? And how can I avoid those situations that I get angry? You say, well, it's at my work or whatever it is. Then you start saying, what else can I put in my life that will help me in that? And one of the things you have is the Word of God. I would encourage you to memorize God's Word. And in those situations that you get angry, instead of focusing on those situations, you focus on the Word of God. And God's Word is powerful and effective. And you'd be surprised how will it change your attitude and change your mind. When you start allowing the good in, the Word of God, instead of those bad situations, but allow the good in, it will change you from the inside out. And fourth is pray it. There is incredible power when you pray back God, His Word. Do you understand that? Before you start reading, you pray. You read the Word of God, and when you're done, you pray through God's Word again. There's power. Why is there power in when we pray God's Word back to Him? Because this is God's will. His Word is His will that He wants in our lives. And when you start praying God's will back to Him, you're praying His will to be done in your life. And don't you think that's what God wants? He wants, after we read His Word, that's where application takes place, by the way, in our lives. Through the Word of God is when we pray it. Not just reading it, it's when I start questioning it and I start praying. It's, yes, God, I'm angry. Help me to not become angry. Applications begin to start taking place. I acknowledge my problem and now I'm bringing it to God. I'm submitting it to God. And that's why I'm allowing God to change me and transform me. So I need to pray it back. I need to pray. And then last is share it. Share it. You have to actually share it with somebody. You actually have to go to somebody and you have to, this is what I've learned from the Bible. I'm not saying preach it. But to share it. I've learned this truth and this is what it means to me. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another and toward love and good deeds. The idea is when I learn something from God in His Word, it stays entrenched in my mind and my heart, my life, when I've shared it with someone else. When I've thought about it in a way in my life that I'm able to put what I've learned from the Word of God into words and into conversation, and now I'm able to share it with someone, what happens is it stays in my heart, my mind. Because I've allowed it to form in my heart and mind. Because I've thought about it enough that now I'm able to share it. Not just learn it, but I'm able to use that rumination, digest it and think about it. Now I'm able to put it into words. This is what God has given to me. And it stays in our hearts and minds and it changes us. Just as it stays as I'm reading it, but I'm able to share it. I'm not saying preach it. Please don't do that to other people. They will run from you. I'm sharing, this is what God has taught me today in a couple sentences. This is what He's done. God's been amazing. This is God giving me an answer prayer, and you just share it real simply to your spouse, to a friend, or somebody, or just out to yourself. But share it, what God is doing in your life, and it stays with us when we can put it into words. It stays with us. My heart's desire for you and for myself is we would value this Word of God and realize what we hold in our hands. I believe that many times we don't read it because we don't understand what this is. This book is incredible. This was written by God through 40 authors over 1,500 years, and all down through the ages, and I went through that, God made sure he preserved his word for you and I, so we can know the events that happened those many number of years ago, and we have an accurate account of all of it, and who God is, and what he did for us, and how we can have a relationship with him, and how we can walk with him, and all the hope and glory that we have in the future because of this book. And I believe so many times we don't realize how valuable it is and what God has given to us. We take this and say, it's God's word, so what? And we throw it to the side, but we can't do this, not with this book, that we should value it so much and realize that what we have, that we begin to read it. We begin to question it. We begin to plan it. We begin to pray it. We begin to share God's word with others, what God has taught you. We all have to decide this morning. You might be here this morning, and what might be going in your heart, you're saying, man, I haven't gotten the word of God for a long time. I can honestly say that I'm spiritually malnourished. And maybe you're here and you're saying that. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, man, I'm just in the milk of the word, and I know I should be in the meat of the word, but I'm not. This morning, all that can change. You know that? You don't have to stay there. You say, I haven't been reading it, but today can be the day that you change it. Today can be the day where you say, God, I want to change that. You know, God doesn't want us just to live on Sunday morning sermons. And I want to make a point. I want to do a sidebar on that because I want to say how important this is. And I want you to share, anybody else that's not here today, and I want you to share this in love with them because I want you to hear this from me in love. Do you realize on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the Bible says, let us not give up meeting together? Do you realize that this is to be the most important part of your week? Do you realize that? Of all the parts of your week, coming to church and to worshiping God is supposed to be. That's why he puts it the first day of the week. It's supposed to start your week. It's the most important day of the week. It's the most important time of the week is to come and to fellowship with other people and to worship God and to grow in his word. This, right now. Everything else is secondary. So what we do so many times on Sunday mornings, we think it's, if I can make it, I'll be here. It's not that important. And we kind of think it's just to come here if I can make it. We don't realize this is more important than your job. This is more important than anything else you will do. That's what God meant for you, to come and fellowship together. Do not give up meeting together, because when you're doing that, you're allowing the enemy to win. You're allowing the rest of us to lose because we need your fellowship. We need you here. We need your encouragement. We need to encourage you. We're in this together to live this life, and God wants us to be here to grow, but not just live on the Sunday morning sermons, not just to grow and live on that, but we're to be here together, worshiping together, growing together, fellowshipping together, but then all through the week, we're to be in other Bible studies, we're to be in the word of God growing. That's what God wants, for you and I to be growing in his word. He wants that for us in our lives. My challenge, and I gave you that challenge last week, and you begin to pray that God set my heart on fire for your word. Give me a really passionate desire to read your word. And I want to give you another challenge, that you may challenge and ask God, say, God, will you allow your word of God to dwell in my heart and my mind richly? Will you help me to understand the word of God so as I begin to read it, it would dwell here richly so I can be guided and led by, so I can grow up in my salvation, so I can grow up as a Christian, able to distinguish good from evil, being trained in righteousness, how to live right with Jesus, and how to be guided by this book. That's what God wants. It's, I want to be you to use this book to guide you, to lead you, to make decisions, to know it well enough that you might be able to share it with others. And it said to be teachers, to encourage others with God's word. Would you rise to the challenge and say, yes, that's what I want in my life, because that's what God wants in your life. To say, I desire this word so much that I realize how valuable it is. So valuable that God says all through the centuries, I made sure that you had this. Do you realize how valuable this is? It's like a treasure. It's a treasure that God has given you and I. He said, I've done so much. People try to burn this. They try to destroy this. But God has preserved his word because he says, you need this. This is essential for the human life. This is essential for you and I to have joy and happiness in our life. It has everything we need. It's found right here in this book. The ingredients are here. And if we're not using it, we're missing out on the life that God has called us to live. So let's rise to the challenge and realize what we have here. Let's ask God to set our hearts on fire for it. And let's allow God to allow the word of God to richly dwell in our hearts and minds. Let's pray. God, we praise you. We praise you, Lord, as we finish up this series. And Lord, we don't worship a book. But God, we worship the God of this book. And as we read this book, we realize that God, you are incredible. incredible, awesome God. There is no one like you. And Lord, the more I read it, the more I'm in awe of who you are. And I pray that every one of us, as we get into this book, we'd realize how awesome you are. And that word awesome, it only deserves to be to you because you're the only one that's truly awesome. And Lord, you are amazing. And your love is amazing. And your grace is amazing. Your mercy is amazing. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you. So Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that we'd come this morning and realize maybe what we have in our hands, how valuable this is. It's a treasure. That, Lord, I might realize that it's important to you that I might know the word of God. And if it's important to you, and you made sure that it was handed down to me so that I might have an accurate account of this, that it might be important in my life. And Lord, I might take the time to read it. Because, Lord, each one of us should have a heart's desire that I want to live for Jesus. That I want to know him. I want to walk with him, but I just don't want to be taking the milk of the word. But Lord, help me to desire the meat. Help me to desire the deep truths of the word. So Lord, I can walk in righteousness with you. That I might be able to discern between evil and good. That I might be able to use this word, this book, the Bible that you've given me to guide and direct my life into righteousness. That I might please you in all your ways. That, Lord, I might be able to use this book, that the words from these pages, to share with others so they too might come to know who you are. So that will never happen, Lord, if I'm not in this book. So I pray for each and every one of us that's here, and whoever may hear this through the website or those that may not be here that might hear it from those that are sitting here, Lord, we need to be in this book. We need to draw closer to you. Allow you to do a work in our lives and our hearts because you want to transform us to be like your son, Jesus. And Lord, we're here today to say, Lord, we praise you. We yield our life to you and asking that you, Lord, would build in our lives Jesus, his character, and who he is. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.